To serve or not to serve, that is truly the question. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Be at peace, I will not talk about Oktoberfest or gardening. To serve or not to serve, that is the question. When some celebrate Pride Month, we continue to celebrate Humility Month, anchoring our hearts to the Sacred Heart of our Lord. As many continue to offend God and trample His laws, we must make amends and reparation to His Sacred Heart, already so grievously afflicted, by detaching ourselves from the chains of sin and offering our lives with their crosses and sufferings and pains, although, let's be objective, quite small and insignificant crosses or suffering compared to the many saints and martyrs who have preceded us, offering it all to God in expiation for our betrayals and infidelities, with the hope and confidence that the promises made to St. Margaret Mary haven't changed for us, if we learn to draw from the infinite treasures of His love for us. He said, "I will give them all the graces necessary in their state in life. I will establish peace in their homes. I will comfort them in their afflictions. I will bestow abundant blessings upon all their undertakings," etc., etc. When the activist Craig Schoonmaker affirmed that anyone can have pride in themselves, and that would make them certainly happier as people and produce the pride movement, likely also to produce changes, we proclaim that the only path to ontological change, change for freedom, change for profound happiness, are to be found in the Sacred Hearts of Jesus, meek and humble. Pride was the source of the fall of the angel, in placing his own excellence above the infinite love and excellence of God, his Creator. He reduced himself to a state of slavery which he cannot and will never be able to escape. The angel, complacent and satisfied with the sole love of himself, made the choice to refuse the gratuity of grace. He refused friendship with God offered by grace. He refused to acknowledge God as the object of his supernatural beatitude, happiness. Pride is, in fact, the sin that corresponds best to the nature of angels. Because an angel is a pure spirit. And St. Thomas Aquinas, following the opinion of St. Augustine, says that the angel loves spiritual goods in a wrong and evil way, by ignoring or rejecting the higher law or norms established by his Creator, a law that he despises out of pride. And from this sin of pride stems the sin of envy, because the good of the other now saddens me, because it overshadows my own excellence. That is why I want to destroy that good of the other, or even destroy the other, out of envy. And again, because wounded by the sting of pride, the fallen angel will be eternally jealous of God and of men. There was a controversy between fathers of the church whether the sin of Lucifer, the sin of the angels, was a sin of pride or envy or jealousy. And St. Thomas Aquinas affirms that it is first a sin of pride, more spiritual, because they are pure spirits. And from that, we have then the sin of envy and the sin of jealousy, but all stemming from the sin of pride. If, because of a choice made with the best knowledge any creatures could ever have of himself and of his Creator, the angel sinned out of pride, if this inordinate love for his own excellence turned these angelical spirit this highest and most perfect creature into relentless haters, how profound then must this same hatred be towards us, towards men, a lower rank creature, limited by the burden of his flesh, his body, his senses. How much more profound this hatred towards a nature which God has embraced and has taken upon himself to perform his work of redemption. Angel, in Greek or in Hebrew, means a messenger, angelos, a messenger, someone entrusted with the mission of carrying a message. And so when it comes to good angels, the message is clear. They brought to mankind a message of love and salvation, particularly in the person of Archangel Gabriel. Bad angels now are also called to be messengers in a way. They are also angels. But the message they now deliver is a message of hatred, of despair, of division, of destruction. Their choice, unfortunately, is fixed in time and for eternity, as their knowledge is purely intuitive, like a picture, instantaneous knowledge. They cannot make any error. They penetrate the essence of all things in a simple picture, whereas our knowledge is discursive. We have to go through a whole process, through our reason, through our senses. But for the angel, it's intuitive. There cannot be any error. And yet, he prefers to place himself and his own excellence above God's love and above God's infinite excellence. The angel does not seek, but he finds. Their message, then, the message of the bad angels, should be for us a terrifying warning about our own reason, our own capacity to see, to know. Because our capacities are way more imperfect than that of the angels. We can err, make errors way more, of course, than they do. We can be blind to the truth and to the good if we do not remain humble in placing all our trust in the source of all truth and goodness. And so the angel, whether good or bad, reminds us of the message we also have received, that the God Almighty, Deus Sabaoth, the God of the armies, calls us to join the ranks of his armies. He calls us to join the ranks of his elects. And so in that same sense, the word vocare in Latin, from which derived the word vocation, referring to a sort of movement, vocare, or called a movement, an attraction, a calling to a specific end, a specific purpose. Created image of God. Capax Dei, according to the expression of Saint Bernard, we're capax Dei, capable of God. We're capable to know God and to receive from him the gifts of his grace. Man then is invited to that union with God. For which reason, the fallen angels cannot but hate us all the more. The Logos, the Word incarnate, calls lovingly for all human creatures to have a personal and intimate life with him, which shall find its perfection in heaven. We can only be our true selves, says Louis Bouyer, the spiritual author. We can only be our true selves in this dialogue in which the divine I, capital letter I, creates us as its interlocutors, as those yous, which can only become I's in their turn by taking heed of his call and responding to it. In other words, we find our very own self, our very own identity, only in God, in referring to the I, the creator of all things. And in him we can find truly who we are. Reason for the incarnation too. And terrible reality of the negation of the angels, who hates not only others, but hates himself too, because disconnected from God, from the I who gives him his identity. We understand that all men is called to union with God, called to know, to love, and serve God, as you have learned in your catechism classes, according to one's natural capacities and state in life. Caritas Christi urget nos. The love of Christ, the charity of Christ urges us. But the question remains, where can man find this model, this prototype, which he needs in order to understand the why, the how, and the where of that pressing call to holiness? In the Word, in the Logos, if the Word, the Logos, became man, it is not only to re-establish that relationship between man and God, which had been broken since the fall, but also to offer a model of what this union or relationship must look like. Christ becomes then the model and source of all desire for holiness and sanctification. A profound Christocentrism, Christ at the very center. And I understand then the importance of humility. Christ at the very center is necessary in order to uphold the very foundations of our spiritual life, of our union with God. Since without me, he says, you can do nothing. It is that simple. Without me, you can do nothing. And so to fulfill his vocation, man must turn to Christ and receive from him all the graces he needs through the sacraments, sacramentals, through the liturgical life of the church. Everything he needs and that will sustain him on his journey to heaven. As St. Paul will say to his brethren from Philippi, I can do all things. Yes, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Again, during this month of humility of the Sacred Heart, Humility Month, and in response to this antithesis, the Pride Month, may we renew our desire to serve God, giving our servium, I will serve, against the non-servium, I will not serve, of the accuser, Satan, Ashatan, the tempter. May we find in the Sacred Heart of Jesus the strength to continue the good fight, not afraid of what may come in our lives, but confident that at the end he will triumph, as he already triumphed on the cross. On this day of Trinity Sunday, sustained by sanctifying grace when free from any mortal sin, may the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in us, dispelling all darkness, be a sign of hope and comfort for the many souls still captive of the infernal enemy. And if, by weakness, or worse, by malice, we have also fallen, let us pray ardently to our guardian angel to bring us back into the light of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.